are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again. It is a mailbag Monday today on the program. Some thoughts from the first reports of OTAs last week, and we already have, there was already multiple injured 49ers, and now a couple more added to the list, bringing the total to 20 49ers that are not currently participating of the 90 available players. So, is that a problem? Is that not a big deal here in May? I put that question to you guys on Twitter, so I'm going to get to some of those responses. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show on the new Himalaya podcast app. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and go to LockedOn49ers.com. Oh, and if you ever want to get involved in one of these mailbag shows, just hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock or email the show. LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. But Twitter's the better place. Go get a Twitter account if you don't have one and follow me. If I'm the only guy you follow, that's okay. You're going to learn about everything going on in the world through my wonderful Twitter feed. Not really. But there are some other fine follows out there as well, including a lot of my guests. Let's kick it off with an email from Ben. He says, as I'm sure you will instill in your son, Leo, my dad passed down to me a deep love for the 49ers. Some of my dad's favorite stories to tell are about going to games pre-Candlestick at Old Kezar Stadium, where they let you wheel in your own ice chest filled with beer. That's crazy that was happening at a certain time in history. And it's unthinkable now that you could just wheel in a ice chest full of beer. I don't know if they let you bring in a bottle of water that's sealed up anymore. Many a ruckus to follow, I'm sure, cheering for Y.A. Tittle stumbling out of a sublime days after seeing R.C. Owens literally invent the alley-oop on the field using his superior leaping ability to snag TDs in the corner of the end zone. I try to take my dad to an away game every year. It's our thing, our tradition, a time where we get to be together, just the two of us. That's awesome. I love that. Father and son. I really look forward to it, and I'm blessed to be able to do it. So my question is, what game should me and my pops go to this season? I'm really leaning toward the Saints game because, come on, we will be in New Orleans, and how fun is that? Tough matchup, especially in the Superdome. But looking at the schedule, that looks like the opportunity for us to have the best time. But I'm open to any suggestions. What do you think? Keep up the good work. I'm so impressed by your diligence and the quality of product you produce every freaking day. It's inspiring. All the best, Benny. Thank you, Benny. I really appreciate that email and the kind words. And I think that's an awesome thing that you and your dad do, and I hope I can develop something like that with my son at some point down the line because, that's just awesome. Oh, and by the way, before we get to the question of which away game to go to this year, a big shout-out to all the single dads and single moms out there especially. The reason I only had did not have a Thursday show up last week is because my wife's out of town and it was just me and I was doing the dad thing solo. And man, it's no joke. It's like, it's crazy. And there's a Bill Burr comedy bit. Being a mother is the most difficult job in the world. And you kind of roll your eyes at it. And he's like, yeah, I thought roofing in July as a redhead was pretty difficult. But, you know, it's a funny bit. And, you know, you kind of think, oh yeah, being a mom is the most difficult thing in the world. Being a parent, I know is tough, but come on. Everybody's done it since the dawning of humans on this planet. Man, until you go through that, and I got an 11-month-old, and sometimes that you can't do anything else all day. It's crazy. So shout out to all the parents, all the moms, all the dads, and especially all the single parents out there because I know how difficult that could be after doing it just for a couple days. It's rough. And Ben, I think you nailed it. I mean, there's definitely no other game I would choose as my number one draft pick if you're doing away games for the 49ers 2019 season than that New Orleans Saints game. Week 4, that is Sunday, December 8th, week 14. That's going to be a good one, man. New Orleans Saints. Baltimore is a cool city. That could be a fun one. L.A., I mean, I'm sure you've been to L.A. multiple times. If not, maybe wait till the 2020 or beyond season when they got the new stadium there. That might be a time to go back and catch a game against the Rams. You've probably seen a lot of the division rivals before. Cardinals would be way down on the list. Seattle's a great town. The only thing that sucks about going to a Seattle Seahawks game, the city's great, but there's a whole bunch of Seahawks fans there. So that sucks, right? But that's, you know, the Seattle's always a good one. But yeah, I would definitely choose New Orleans out of this group. Cincinnati, meh. Tampa Bay. I have no idea what Tampa Bay is like at all. Like, I don't even know a cliche thing about Tampa Bay. What happens in Tampa Bay aside from it being a bay and a city in Florida? I have no clue. I picture golf and retired old people. And that's probably way off. My apologies for offending anybody who's from Tampa, but like, I have no idea. So I wouldn't pick that. Washington, D.C., that's always a great town, so that'd be a fun one. But I would probably do Saints 1 for sure. That's far and away number one choice there. And then maybe Washington would be second on the list. Got an email from Wayne, and he's referencing a video that made its rounds recently. It's actually an old video that I kind of forgot existed a couple years ago. I think right when Kyle Shanahan was first hired as the 49ers head coach. But he says, a few days ago, there's a video clip showing Kyle Shanahan giving out a long play call. Y short to strong right, clamp ace, H2, Y bingo, X comeback, cannon with roll right, B shallow on 2. I'm wondering if you could please take a stab at the play call and tell your listeners what play it is. I'm guessing it is a single fat back formation ace with the tight end, H back or slot Y, lining up to the right, strong side, a split end, X running, comeback, roll right, ball snapped on the second count. That is all I can go. Thank you for the email, Wayne. And X's and O's isn't my forte either, and I think you've nailed a few of those things. Y short to strong right, clamp ace, so the formation there. The Y is the tight end, so the tight end motions short to strong right, so he's starting out on the short side of the field, I think, out wide. He becomes the strong right tight end. Ace is a single back set. Clamp ace makes me feel like it's a single back, but with somebody tight to the formation. So maybe that's for that Y to be sort of tight, but off the line of scrimmage. Or maybe that's the guy on the other side who is either sort of the fullback or the F position guy who's an H back or something that's clamped in tight to the formation. But I haven't really heard that term clamp ace before, but that's my guess. And then you've got your two, your X wide receiver would be on the weak side, on the left side there, and then your Z on the right. H2, Schlereth, Mark Schlereth, who he's talking to in that video, confirms that that is the protection. So that we've got that there. Y bingo. So bingo is, I think, a crossing route, maybe. It's the only thing I've ever seen with routes, and the word bingo would be a bingo cross, which I think is sort of like a mesh concept-y sort of a thing. So those guys crossing, and later a B shallow, I think, would combine with that. So Y bingo is the Y tight end. He's running an in route. Then you've got X comeback. So that's the split end. He's lined up on the left side running a comeback route. Probably not part of the progression there because your quarterback's going to be rolling right. Because the next part is cannon with roll right, B shallow. So quarterback's definitely rolling right there. The B shallow, it'd make it easier if it was F shallow. Then I'd know for sure he's talking about sort of the H-back or the slot receiver on the left side doing a shallow cross. But maybe that's what they're calling a B in this formation. I don't know. Maybe that's a fullback. Maybe that's B for back. So maybe that extra player is like an offset fullback. But whoever that second or that third receiver basically is somewhere near the backfield, tight to the formation, is running a shallow cross. So you've got the crossers with the bingo coming from the right side, the tight end, and then the shallow cross coming on the other side. And I'm guessing that's the number one read there, is that shallow crosser, because you're rolling right, you've got a crosser, shallow crosser coming in front of you there, and the Z, my guess is he's running a go route or a post or something to run off the coverage there and open that shallow crosser up to the right and on two. Yeah, you got it. Hard count or whatever. But it's funny. So you go through all that. It's a long play call. You run through it all in your head. Then you go up there on the line and you're like, sit hut. And then the defense jumps. And so now you don't even run the play. You go back to the huddle and you wait for another long ass call into your ear from Kyle Shanahan. So that's funny. I don't know how close I am. I'd love to hear from you guys if somebody knows exactly what that is. I think there is some vagueness to some of these. I don't think Kyle Shanahan wants to use all the same exact verbiage that other teams use. So if someone hears that, they don't know exactly what's happening there. So I wonder if there's some sneaky business there with that play call. But yeah, that's my best guess. The number one receiver is that shallow crosser coming across, and maybe you get an O, maybe you get that Z who's going deep on the right side. Maybe you hit him on a big play potentially after you roll right. Cannon, I'm not sure what that is. Maybe that's a play action. I don't know. That's my best guess, and I'm probably wrong. So I'd love to hear from you guys if you have a better idea of what that play call is. But that's a lot to think about, man. Imagine being a rookie, and you've got to come learn that. Especially if you come from like some spread offense where all you did is line up in the same spot every single play, look at the sideline, look at some hand signal or something, or a big poster board that has a picture of like Donald Duck and the Chevron logo and Lady Gaga on it or something. And then you run one of your three routes that you always run. And so that's got to make some rookies and even veterans head spin with that kind of verbiage in the huddle.
All right, we can go Y short to strong right clamp ace, H2, Y bingo X comeback, cannon with roll right Z shallow on two. Got it?
This podcast is brought to you in part by Kyle Shanahan's ridiculously long play calls, hotels.com, Grip 6 belts, Untuck It, and Blue Chew. Guys, do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra something, that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's like blue, the color blue, and chew like you chew it. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. A lot of great responses when talking about the injuries on Twitter. And I guess we got to talk Jimmy Ward, and probably the least surprising development of OTAs was hearing Jimmy Ward went down with an injury, broken collarbone, it sounds like, diving for a ball, non-contact portion of practice. There's no contact going on for the most part in these practices, no padded practices, but he was diving for a ball, hit the deck, and boom, broken collarbone. His fifth broken bone in his NFL career. He's got some other soft tissue injuries as well. The 49ers fans, it's well documented. You know his injury history. It has to be something that the front office anticipated. So the question is, did John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have their heads in the sand to the possibility that depth would get very lean very quickly? Or did they say, look, it's okay if Jimmy Ward gets hurt? And by the way, interesting nugget in a Matt Maiocco article, he said that he feels like the 49ers think that Jimmy Ward isn't just the best safety, the best defensive back on the roster. That's how much they like Jimmy Ward. And it's crazy because he wasn't even a starter this time last year, and he's been bounced around between positions, and now suddenly they think he's their best defensive back. That was a wild one, and it's entirely possible. But so they either feel like, okay, Jimmy Ward's going to be healthy. Jason Verrett's going to be healthy. This is going to be great. They're going to both play 16 games. We're going to be awesome in the secondary. Or did they say, look, if Jason Verrett doesn't play any games, if Jimmy Ward doesn't play any games, it doesn't matter because Adrian Colbert's a stud starting free safety in this league. We've got him locked down. We've got depth at safety. We've got two good strong safeties. We've got DJ Reed who can play free safety. We've got Tarvarius Moore who could play free safety in a pinch. And we also have Richard Sherman. And we have Kelly Witherspoon, who's going to be a stud corner on the other side. And we have no issues with depth, and we're not worried about injuries in the secondary. Is that what they thought going in? And it's I disagree with either of those stances, by the way. But it makes more sense if the 49ers think that Kelly Witherspoon's fine and going to be a very good starting outside cornerback starting week one this year. Or that Adrian Colbert is a very fine starting free safety in the NFL starting week one this year. So the other guys were luxuries, and if they play, then great. You're even better at corner and safety. But if Verrett and Jimmy Ward get hurt as you would expect, then it's okay because they have a really good squad and still a deep squad otherwise. That has to be the way they thought. If they thought that those guys were going to be healthy and play multiple games or play all season, then they need to have their heads examined because it's just not the case. And so when you consider all of the injured players that the 49ers had currently already, then bringing in more guys who were hurt this offseason, it makes you wonder, are they reinventing the wheel a little bit as far as injuries go? Do they think that the medical staff and they think that all these injuries were flukes and it's going to regress to the mean and they're going to have so many fewer injuries this year just because of the luck factor and that all of these guys can be healthy and ready to go? And I get it. It's May and the season's a long time away. So maybe they're holding guys out and being cautious, and that's fine too. But there are some guys with some pretty major injuries that might not even be ready for week one, like Quan Alexander. They gave a ton of money to. And I think for them, they weren't around during the Trent Baalke era, but 49ers fans were. And so I think 49ers fans have a little PTSD when it comes to hashtag team ACL that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan aren't too worried about. And they think maybe they can sneak by and get a little value and maybe draft some players with some injury history that fell a little bit and maybe sign some guys that other teams might not sign because they've got some injury concerns. And we've already seen how that turns out, and it doesn't turn out great. That is a little bit worrisome to me. So I put it on Twitter. What do you guys think? Are you worried about it? What's your worry level? And the scale I gave was, is it between 9 and 10? Because a lot of people were very worried when the Jimmy Ward thing get down. By the way, one thing I don't like when it comes to Jimmy Ward, and it's the same thing with the Solomon Thomas stuff. It's not their fault. It's not Jimmy Ward's fault. Don't hate on Jimmy Ward and call him names and be like, you know, whatever. It's like Jimmy Ward feels as bad about this as anybody. He wants to be on the field. He wants to play ball. This is his career, but he can't do anything about the injuries. So it's not his fault. He didn't, you know, he's not to blame for getting re-signed and brought back and put in this role to be expected to be the starting free safety all year. It's not his fault where he was drafted. It's not Solomon Thomas's fault that he was drafted number three overall, and maybe he was overdrafted there, and maybe he won't ever live up to being the number three overall pick in the draft, just like Jimmy Ward maybe won't ever live up to being a first round selection. But he could still be a really good player, and especially the Solomon Thomas stuff and what he went through last year. You just can't know how that's going to affect you and affect your mind, which will affect your body. And I think that was pretty obvious watching him play in 2018. That's not the guy that he's going to be. He's going to be better than that guy. And maybe he's not the number three overall pick guy, but I think he could be a very valuable player for this team and be part of a stud defensive line that is being built right now. You just got to hope that everyone's healthy, everyone's on the field, and that in turn is what helps out that defensive backfield that could become very thin very quickly. And even if there aren't any more injuries in the secondary, aside from Jimmy Ward and Jason Verrett, you still have to have some development. Like Adrian Colbert's still got to become a starting caliber player. Akell Witherspoon still has some development to do. Tarvarius Moore, I have no idea what to expect out of Tarvarius Moore. Is he even a corner? Is he a safety? He's got great physical tools. So Richard Sherman, it's awesome that he's healthy, and he sounds like he is loving how he's feeling right now when he had those sutures removed from his Achilles. But he's not the youngest guy, and he's already lost a step. Is he going to be, you know, at some point just non-functional because he's not going to be fast enough to run with dudes in the NFL anymore? And maybe this year he'll be actually a little bit better than last year, but at some point that's going to end. So I don't know, depth, and there are some questions I have in the secondary. We've talked about that a lot, but I want to hear what some of you guys feel just about the overall team and about the injuries and about 20 guys not participating. I think you could argue that it's a good thing that they're holding guys out so they don't get further hurt, so they're actually ready for training camp and when the season starts. And I'll buy that argument with a few exceptions, guys like Jimmy Ward. I mean, you just couldn't have ever expected much from him anyway, just based on his history. Fabio says the season starts in September. Everybody needs to chill a little. Bosa and running back concerns are way overblown, in my opinion. Hold on, I'll pause in this tweet for a second. And I didn't even mention Nick Bosa, who came up with a hamstring injury. And that's not a worry for me so much just because it happens. I mean, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, those would have likely been the other draft picks for the 49ers if they were picking a couple picks later or Bosa was gone at one. Those guys are also both hurt and already dinged up in OTAs for their respective teams, the Jets and the Jaguars. And it's really common for rookies to come in and they're training for a track meet and all of a sudden now they're playing football again. And with Bosa, it's been so long since October since he actually played football. So being involved in football activities, things like pulling your hamstring or a quad or a groin or something like that, that's not uncommon at all. And so I don't think it's worrisome. I think maybe they should have thought about that and maybe held Bosa back because he seems like the type that's not going to hold himself back and he's going to be going all out in these drills. But, you know, he'll be fine. He'll be out for a couple weeks and they'll get him back for, you know, he'll be there for training camp. And I don't think he needs a big, long training camp anyway, because I think he's one of the most ready to play guys I've seen in the draft in a while. Back to Fabian's tweet. He says, Ward will be back soon enough. For me, it's a three. So it's a 3 out of 10 for Fabio's worry meter when it comes to the injuries. He says, as the season comes, though, and players won't be healthy for the start, I will get nervous. For now, I'm pretty chilled. And I think that was a pretty common response here for the people who aren't super worried about it. Carson says, Rashard Robinson and Will Redmond flopped. If DJ Reed, Colbert, Akello, and Tarvarius all similarly flop, the Niners are screwed. I mean, that's a lot of ifs there, Carson, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. And Rashard Robinson, yeah, he did have quite a few dings, but that wasn't like a Will Redmond team ACL thing where he just flat out never played a snap. So those are all very different things there. And I still have some hope for, I like DJ Reed. DJ Reed's kind of the opposite of Akello and Tarvarius in that he doesn't have that height and speed and length and, you know, raw tools that maybe Akello and Tarvarius has, but he's actually more of a finished product and just kind of ready to play. DJ Reed's a little bit more like refined and what you see is what you get. And maybe he doesn't have that huge upside, but it's like, you know, maybe a little higher floor. It's like he's going to ball. And I kind of like DJ Reed. I like him better as a slot corner than as a safety or as an outside corner, just from what I've seen in his brief NFL career and from his college tape. Devin says, I'm not worried at all. Let these guys heal up. But if training camp comes around and these guys are still hurt, then buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Hashtag hard hat season. And Luke points out, yeah, it's been a bumpy ride for most of the decade now. So, yeah, that's kind of what is weird about it is the reinventing the wheel on injuries. Old school GMs, and I kind of bash old school GMs a lot on this show because of how they go about team building and they're, you know, kind of setting their ways and weird. You hear weird quotes from anonymous scouts and anonymous execs that are like, what are you talking about sometimes? But one of the things I think they might have pretty right is being a little bit conservative when it comes to injuries. And guys with injuries will drop in the draft a lot because most GMs won't touch them, at least for a while. And so to me, I would be in that boat as far as like, okay, if you're going to draft a guy who's hurt, make sure you're getting not just a little discount, you're getting a massive discount. So don't draft a guy at the top of the fourth round that you thought, oh, maybe he was worth a late third and he dropped 10 spots. Now we'll take him. He's got a torn ACL. No, draft him in the sixth round. If he's still there, you're like, dude, we got to take this guy now because he's too good. And we hope he can come back from this injury because ACLs aren't like what ACLs used to be, but they're not nothing, you know? So they're still an injury that can affect players. And you never know if you're going to get the same guy back. Quan Alexander, when's he coming back? Who's exactly he going to be when he does come back? How long is it going to take once he's, okay, cleared, now you're playing, are you still that guy? That's one of the worries I have with Jason Verrett is because, man, he's had so many injuries in his career. The latest is that Achilles. It's like, are you going to get that same quick twitch player that he used to be? Because that's what it was all about, was that twitchy athleticism he had as a cornerback because he's not the biggest guy. And if he doesn't have that, then it's like, well, okay, well, you get Jason Verrett. And the bonus there is they didn't spend a ton on Verrett. So it's, you know, almost like, well, who cares? You know, just whatever. We'll throw a little bit of money here. Maybe we will get that guy, but maybe. But now he's not even the same guy anymore. And so some players in the draft, it's like, well, this is a pretty good prospect, but is he even going to be that same guy after major injury? And so you at least want to be able to see them work out and put some workouts on tape and So at least before the draft, you want to be able to see a guy work out a little bit and be like, okay, yeah, he's that athleticism's there. So he'll be able to heal up over time, even if he's not ready right away. We can see that he's still that athlete and he's still that guy. All right, let's finish up this mailbag after a quick break. Oh, by the way, speaking of injuries, another worrisome injury and something I didn't realize until he was not cleared yet at OTAs was Garrett Celek. He missed the last game or two of 2018, and he's still in May in concussion protocol, which is I can't remember that happening that way. And that makes me think like, okay, maybe there's a career in jeopardy here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe guys who had concussions at the end of the season, months later, still aren't cleared, and maybe they don't get cleared again until training camp. Maybe that's a regular thing, but I can't remember that happening. I think he's got a back injury he's dealing with as well. But if he's in like literal concussion protocol still months later from the season, I think that's a huge red flag. Maybe a big reason why they drafted Caden Smith, brought in Levine Toilolo, another former Stanford tight end, and has worked with Shanahan because they know they need that body now, because maybe Garrett Celek won't ever be coming back, which would be a sad thing. And you hope that's not the case, but the fact that he's still in concussion protocol, and feel free, hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock if this is like a regular thing, but I can't remember someone still being in concussion protocol 5 months after the season ended. We got some people who are 10 out of 10 concerned, though, as well. Philip, Luke, he says 10, of course. It's effing BS. I'm tired of it. I cleaned up Luke's tweet a little bit, too. He is definitely not happy. Steered Straight also thinks it's a 10. E says 110. I don't know if that's a typo or if he actually means 110 out of 10. He said, I'd love to get unused to these injury-riddled off seasons that seem to linger into training camp. Injuries keep the franchise chemistry from ever really happening. Well, I think on the bright side of the injury thing is that one of them, Jimmy Garoppolo, seems to be like not a problem at all. And hopefully they don't overdo it with him right now, but he seems to be moving around great, has no problems. He's got that knee brace on and seemed to be throwing the ball well and moving well and doesn't have any worries about that knee. So, I mean, that's a huge positive, and that's the most important man on the roster for the 2019 49ers. My guy Kruger says 6. So 6 out of 10. So mildly concerned here. He said more than average based on recent history, but the time of year matters, as does the fact that other most likely first-round 49ers picks apparently missed practice with injury. It's football. Every team has injuries. Yeah, every team does have injuries, but this one seems like there's a lot more to start, and teams don't get less injured. That's where I would think I would put my worry meter is that it's like, okay, if you're not healthy at the healthiest time of the year for all these guys, then how are they going to be more healthy after training camp and into the season? So that's kind of where I would put that idea, is that I'm not super worried about it, but it could go very badly. And it's hard to believe that they're going to be super healthy all of a sudden in, say, September. Chris says 57 out of 10. Nick says, about a 7, what lineup are you more excited to see on 3rd and 7? Pettis, Samuel outside with Kittle, Hurd in the slot, and McKinnon in the backfield, or Ford, Bosa, Thomas, Buckner with Kwon and Warner showing blitz? To be honest, I'm a little bit more excited about that defensive front 7 coming together, because it was the one thing that was frustratingly lacking last season, was that outside pass rush, and the 49ers saw the error in their ways. It was a good offseason to grab multiple players, and they did, one in free agency or via trade plus re-upping in Dee Ford. And then going into the draft, they didn't screw around. They took Nick Bosa at pick 2. So I'm really excited to see how that comes about. On offense, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, though, too, with the young guys. Seeing how the young guys develop. Is it going to be Pettis and Samuel that earn the spots, or is it going to be Jordan Matthews and Marquise Goodwin eating into those or even starting in those outside roles? Hurd, I got to imagine Hurd's not going to have a huge impact, at least year one, just because he's still learning the wide receiver position, and maybe are they going to try to move him into that H-back role? There's a little bit of a hazy outlook there for Hurd. I wonder how much run he's actually going to earn as a rookie. Is he going to be one of those guys that's maybe a healthy scratch for a while? It's a little difficult to see him earning a ton of snaps right away and maybe just be a package player if he is active on game days. But I am definitely intrigued by that offense and how it's going to come together and how those playmakers are going to get used and see who really steps up and is like, okay, like Kittle did last year. It's like you had hopes this time last year for Kittle being a pretty good tight end in the league, but you didn't see that coming. What if there's that big sort of a jump in year two for someone like Dante Pettis or some, you know, massive rookie year for somebody like Deebo Samuel or Jalen Hurd comes out and you're like, oh my God, this guy is a ridiculous weapon and he's used all over the place. Maybe he is able to make a huge impact as a rookie. I don't know, but I'm really interested to see how it shakes out and how those pieces come together on offense for the 49ers. Jeremy's concerned at about a level 9. Huntley is at a level 10. He says, we aren't the only victims of the offseason bug either. I think all teams or the league itself needs to reconsider the way it conducts its offseason programs and when training should take place. There are already 3 injured big-name rookies and plenty more will get hurt. I don't know. They've already dialed back a ton of stuff for that very reason in the offseason, and there's only so many practices. Coaches already are annoyed because they can't put together their systems and their game plans because they have so few practice days. Let's end on a positive note here. Riley says, 1 out of 10. Every year in Maui, I meet players who are hurt. Football is brutal, and they all play hurt. They need more time to heal. Old school players would get months without worrying about football. Yeah, back in the day, guys would have off-season jobs, right? And they just wouldn't do anything. They would show up in training camp, and training camp was how they got back into shape. And that's definitely not the case. It's definitely a year-round thing. So with the weight training and year-round training, I could see that weighing on players a lot more. And maybe you're right that maybe they're just holding them out. And it's the smart thing to do and get everybody healthy for camp and then roll. And for 49ers fans' sake, you hope that's right because they're going to need a full complement of players this year to take that next step as a team and as a competitive franchise. All right, that's it for today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on the new Himalaya podcast app. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Be back tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.